Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Giant Fork and Spoon. I'm your hostess, Chef Elena Alexander. No reservations are needed to be seated in our Word Cafe. It is here where we are serving up lots of hot topics about my favorite subject, food. Please subscribe to our channel as we continue to put more dishes on the podcast buffet. Our companion blog, giantforkandspoon.blogspot.com, is also available to view and subscribe. Our conversations here are sure to entice your palate, awaken your curiosity, titillate your intellect, and satisfy your cravings for food for thought. We will talk to foodies, chefs, culinary educators, and just about anybody who loves food. So let's get you seated and get ready for today's Blue Plate Special.
Hey, good morning. This is Chef Elena. I'm coming to you live from the University of Chicago campus. We are so happy and busy this coming week. We are here with 20 Chicago Public Schools. Kids, teenagers in high school, and we're staying in the dorm, and we have a boatload of different things that we need to do as far as activities and things they get to see and things they get to participate in, and it's really a nurturing experience that will expose them more to the industry and how it all works versus the classroom or versus just, you know, some kids don't believe that it's as hard as it as we say it is, or it's just something that you could do part-time. You know, we really try to get them in a space where those who are serious about the industry begin to understand and develop the full concept of what it really is. And those of them who decide not to enter will still have like a really good culinary background that'll carry them through lives, because I don't know anybody who will, you can honestly say, will never cook. It's not that. You'll be a mother, you'll be a father, you will have to cook. Even if you don't have children, you know, you've got, maybe you have a spouse, maybe you have friends, all of these things go on. Maybe you just don't want to spend, you know, a third more to two-thirds more on food by eating out every night. All these things with economy and socialization and history is all a part of what you nurture and continue to do so through cooking. Cooking is the history of humanity and civilization. If you would like to call in, I'm available at 657-383-0717. If you are interested in being interviewed for this podcast, whether you're a professional chef, a mom of three, or just a foodie, makes no difference. These are just that simple conversations about food, about how we think about it, how we prepare it, how we look upon it. All of these things are a component in this show. Let's talk about this. This is day one for our kids. We moved them in yesterday in the evening and, you know, fed them dinner and did some getting to know you type activities. Well, lights out is 10:30. So we warned them first thing in the morning comes awfully quick. So Sam knocked on the door, was startling, and we went through breakfast and you could see heads drooping. We went to a safe, we had them come in and do safety and sanitation. Table and drag it. I bet you they won't do that again tomorrow. I swear they won't, because we're about to wear them out. Currently, I've just left two dining halls in which we left groups of kids. Cafeteria or the dining hall. We've got some people working on pizzas. We got some people working on stir-fry veg, so they're doing a lot of cutting. We got some people that end up on the line that from the hotline that got changed over from bacon and eggs to whatever the offering is this week. super exciting for them, nervous for them. I know they'll do really well, especially those that I know. I have one of my personal students here and two or three that I've seen compete and know who they are from the other program with Chef Taylor. So happy to report I'm working with Chef Taylor again. Really, really good for me. There's some challenges at the location that I teach at. And because of those challenges and because of the scenario that I'm kind of in, I've been putting up a lot of mess over there because I'm kind of the outsider. I'm the stepchild that comes in every other weekend, so to speak. So without the support that I get from my coordinator, my chef in charge, which is Nicola Copeland, tie that into having Chef Taylor come and work with me this summer to cover, because we increased the class size, we filled it up, everybody's going really well. We went from supposedly 15 to 30 kids. And I say supposedly because some of the previous sessions that I've had at that school, I've had up to 27 people in that room, and little by little people drop out, things happen, and then the numbers kind of gel out as to which ones are really, you know, dedicated and coming, or versus some of the ones that were curious and now that they've been in it, you know, for whatever reason, are bowing out, and that's fine. With me being the quote unquote only one through my program at that campus, I think a lot of me, A, to be the peacemaker, B, not to, you know, not trying to ruffle anybody's feathers, I just want to do my job, and C, I've been in scenarios where I'm reporting one viewpoint and someone's reporting another, and I've not had my vision or experience or any of those things supported because it was your word against her word, and her word kind of was the voice of management versus the voice of an employee. So it's not quite cut and dry, but it's really similar where you can report all you want to. If it's not accepted or believed or any of those things, then you can get yourself into a hairy situation where you're considered the problem. Not all the time does the squeaky wheel get the grease. It should, but it doesn't always happen. So you have to weigh the measure of your voice and your experience in a certain scenario, see kind of how to run it. But with Chef Taylor coming from the other location in the morning, joining me in the afternoon, Taylor's been at this at least 10 years in this same scenario, in this same position. So all the negative reports that could possibly be ascribed to me and my class is negated when it's not true, because not only do you have me there saying that's not what happened, we have one of the most experienced chefs in this program telling them that's not what it was. So that's kind of a relief off my shoulders a little bit, because like I said, I've been subjected to some BS, some significant BS, and I've just been trying to fix it. You know what I mean? You always got somebody who would rather point fingers at, oh, you missed a spot here, you forgot to do X, Y, and Z. You've always got those people, instead of just saying, hey, be careful with this, they want to take and put it on paper and, you know, send emails because they found some dirt in a corner in their room. It is messy. So anyway, I'm going to get off that subject. we are planning, may happen soon, very soon, I hope. We are planning to see if we can move my program to another location to avoid a lot of the BS that's been going on there. Let me get a little bit of water here. Okay, so my current health scenario and the amount of drug therapy that I'm on also makes me, I don't know if it's less combative, but less interested in being combative. I don't have time for that. You know, I'm already in pain all the time and I don't want to deal with it. So these kind of programs, this particular program, Careers Through Culinary Arts Program, has really opened my eyes to a bunch of stuff and has really kind of been a valuable, almost, you know, career-saving type of move. And here's why. My fibromyalgia, my knee pain syndrome, my allergies, there's been so many things that have impacted the amount of work I can do, the frequency that I can do it in. I have been pushing myself physically for a good while. And come along with that is all the psychological and financial troubles that come with that, because, you know, I'm maintaining a household. The household has three dependents. The landlord doesn't care if you're, well, I didn't get paid from my boss this week, so you're going to have to wait. No, that doesn't happen. So having the ability to work in a position that relies on not only my work experience, but my educational background and my ability to speak to kids and my persona and, you know, all of these things, teaching a class, several classes, is less physical stress for me. Mentally, yes, teenagers will take you there and, you know, you just think about them and shake your head at the end of the day, good or bad, either they're funny or, you know, they're just a hot mess. But anyway it goes, I'm not working 20-hour days again, not weeks, 20-hour days, okay? Many of our city of Chicago catering companies, when they've got a big event going on, they don't care how many man hours it's going to take. It just has to get done. So you can find yourself in a position where your manager is not too happy that you're consistently ill or consistently tired. Your production level can go down because, you know, your hands hurt, your back hurt, so you're not moving at your top speed, things like that. And I've run into that and not really been able to define what that was or how to put it. Now that I have a diagnosis, I'm more aware of what's going on. But needless to say, our industry is fast-paced and dynamic and diversified and a whole lot of work and also a whole lot of fun if you thrive off of that kind of thing. I know a lot of people who are like adrenaline junkies, and it's like that for chefs, except for we're not, you know, hang gliding or jumping off a cliff. Our rush, our thing is this kind of dopamine influenced mental state of trying to get it done and having pride about it and being like, yeah, you know, the ego gets stroked. Even if no one else says anything, when you look at your work or you look finally set up the buffet table or whatever you're working on, the first thing you get is, yeah, I did that. And then to have someone ooh and awe and, oh, thank you, chef, and all of these things gives you an extra little bit of dopamine or adrenaline, and you're just in it. And it's fun. It's chaotic. However, I've seen a lot of my colleagues get addicted to painkillers or illegal substances or alcohol. Because in order to work a 20-hour day, you're past your point of exhaustion by the end of it. And then you may have to go home and look at your spouse if you have one, kick the cat, take a nap and turn around and come back. I don't consider that going to bed. It literally, I have had days where I've had 3 hours sleep for 4 or 5 days in a row. To me, that's just catching a nap. Because you're not fully refreshed, you're not as mentally, but it's fun. You never starve. The work never goes away. You can downsize a lot of stuff in our culture, you know, downsize your job, downsize the amount of house that you live in, downsize your car from a Mercedes to a Toyota, all of these things. But the one of the very consistent things is everybody eats. Everybody needs medical attention, everybody needs education, and everybody needs to eat. Okay. So as long as people are eating, there's a possibility for me to work and, you know, undergird my family's budgetary issues and all the rest of that by being in this position. I love it. I love it. I love it. My body doesn't agree with me frequently, but the mental thing going on is really, really invaluable. Also take into effect, we get to see a lot or touch upon a lot of the happiest days of people's lives. I'm teaching these kids in more of a general culinary educational kind of background. But my customers and my clients and some of them in the past have been very loyal and very vocal about how much they like my work. I have two families minimum, but two come to mind instantly. I have one family in which I started doing cakes for one sister. Then her cousin called me. Then her sister called me. Then I think a distant cousin on the husband's side. So I've been doing cakes for this group of people for years now. And it's always like, I know you're going to give me my best chef. You're going to hook me up. You know, it's going to be a beautiful thing, blah, blah, blah. I love your work. And are willing to share that information. Most of my private clients have come straight from word of mouth. I don't do a lot of marketing because of the politics here in Chicago, which is part of Cook County. And a lot of people call it Crook County. There are all these loopholes to get a location secured and all these things, different ways that the industry growth is suppressed or, you know, maintained at a certain level. So I'm still not in a position where I think I will take the financial risk to open my own location within the next year. I don't think I'm ready to do that. I would love to be ready to do that, trust and believe. But one of the things I've always wanted to build into my business from my first conversations about it is a kind of a teaching arm. I wanted to take at-risk young adults and run them through like an internship with me. They work so many hours, blah, 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 and I would expose them to educational opportunities to go to culinary college, finishing out your GED, whatever it would take. And if they stuck through the program when they enrolled into school, I was going to try to set up some type of scholarship around that. Well, this has given me the opportunity to do that without having my own business. And, you know, add to someone else's life and benefit me physically, benefit them immensely. So happy, happy to do it. Days are not always easy. Kids are not always obedient. Things happen. But I've never really had what I would consider an over-the-top, horrible experience with student aid. It really hasn't happened. Most of my students know Chef's a little crazy. Chef does see and hear all that stuff that you're trying to hide. Chef does know what she's talking about, and we are going to have a good time. So, and then at the end of my classes, they always get to eat what we made. And sometimes there's enough food prepared that they can take it home. So it's kind of a nutritional bonus, an exposure experience. I'm on the south side of Chicago and what we call the Wild Hundreds. I used to live out there, and that neighborhood has a lot of challenges as it stands today. A lot of my kids have deficits that I try to work on with them. Comprehension of math is a big one. Sometimes it's reading ability. That's a big one. They all of them mess up when it comes to following instructions. They have some of the hardest times. We'll prep all of our meals the day before we leave. Okay, we'll measure out the flour for this, put the salt in it. Okay, over here, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. We can put the spice together, you know, measure our fat, whatever needs to be done. My kids bang that out in a minute. Their prep work is wonderful. But then we'll walk back into class the next day to finish the project, and they lost it. It's like they don't know where anything is. Well, chef, what I'm supposed to do next? I'm like, you have the recipe in your hand. Don't ask me what you need to do next. Read the instructions. Oh, chef, I messed up. I did something I wasn't supposed to. Why? Yeah, you didn't follow instructions. You know, left foot, left shoe, right foot, right shoe. Time together, keep it moving. So we have to really kind of pull on them a little bit, but you always will have ones that aren't suited for your program, and then you'll have ones that you really key into and hope they do choose culinary as a career, because we do scholarships. I work with the CCAP scholarship program, and then I also work with the NAACP AXO, ACT-SO, AXO program, and they're both scholarship-driven, giving our kids the ability to polish themselves, their speech, their elevator pitch, how to, you know, they'll take away with it ability to go into a job interview cold and get the job. They are prepped and drilled. And then not to mention their projects and a lot of things. With CCAP, the only category is culinary. With the NAACP, there are 32 different categories. All the STEM categories, we got written drama, spoken word, dance, musical performance, composition, entrepreneurship, and culinary. These, all these things. So, and those kids can compete in up to 3 different categories. So if you got a writer who's really good at short story, but also is a big and wonderful orator for like a speech, or if they want to perform their poetry live, they can do that. They can pick 3 of them, come to the competition locally, and see, you know, see where they're at and see if they win gold. So I find it funny that I have never really been a person that would be, oh, I love kids. And no, that was never it. Most of the time people irritate me, to be perfectly honest with you. And there are times I just want to be like, please, no, I can't adult anymore today. I definitely don't want to talk to another teenager. Give me 48 hours so I can, you know, pull myself together. Because they will put you there. You will be like, oh my God, what am I doing? But at the same time, to watch the caterpillars start to turn into butterflies, watch the improvements that we are able to give them that will not only sit in the culinary world for them. A lot of things that we do reinforces what they're taught during the regular school day. If I can get you a better idea of how to multiply a fraction, you're going to get a higher grade in math. If I can show you how to take an oil and an acid and make an emulsion, you may do better in science. Transition of states of different things. We start out with cold water that turns hot, that turns into steam, that goes into the air, making humidity that can affect other things in the room, like flour and sugar, pick up that humidity. Lots of stuff. And I really, really like it. So I'm sitting in the dorm room. They are hopefully chopping away and really getting like, oh my God, there's so much things going on. I want them to be shocked a little bit at the amount of work and the amount of people it takes to really run an organization well and an offering well. And I can't wait to see them. We're going to have lunch, and then we're going to take them out to exercise. And we're really going to peek in on, wow, chef, this is blah, blah, blah. Or, oh my gosh, chef, it's too much. We'll see who got the medal and who kind of going to fall back. Little fallback thing. So I've got about 5 minutes more on this broadcast. And once again, if you want to call in, it's 657-383-0717. If you're catching this broadcast through my archives, great to meet you as well. I hope this is, you know, interesting and dynamic and will keep you listening. please, please, please sign up to follow and subscribe to this podcast, as well as the written companion blog spot. I've been a little neglectful. I haven't been as on the ball as usual, but a lot of topics I talk about here are things that I touch on in the written blog, the companions. The blog is on Blogger, giantforkandspoon.com, -blogger.com, let me be more precise, and this broadcast here. We've touched on a lot of conversations here. This is probably the first time, the first time I talked about someone to interview, and I think that that's okay as well. And I like it. I kind of like it. I can just kind of get you the news instead of dealing with, you know, some of the other cultural things. This is the news program. So we'll keep it like that. I'm looking forward to scheduling some more interviews. I think the people that we've had on here up to now have really been good interviews, from the policies and political aspect of government and / feeding and culinary, onto, you know, the mom at home talking about her experiences, you know, growing up eating, growing up behind, you know, a very good cook in the family and learning the tradition of whatever cuisine that, you know, they take a part of. So I always ask everybody I interview on here, I ask them one simple question. What is your first or favorite food memory? What do you remember going back? How old were you? And every now and then I'll get an unusual answer, but especially for the African-American people I've had on here, they all express a similar experience of standing on the step stool with grandma, the holidays, and they're mixing cakes or making cookies or helping out with the sauce for the mac and cheese, whatever it was. We have been trained up in how to do this. So it's kind of, you know, if you have a child, teach the child the way to go and they won't divert from it. That is very true in food because of the lineage of good cooks. I'm one of them. I've fallen through a long, long line of excellent cooks. I had a great grandmother I saw frequently in the summers who still, her sister, my great aunt and my great grandmother, they still use the wood burning stove, and we had bought them another stove and they did not like it. It was sitting there, and you know, in the oven, I think it had paper or books in it. They did not like it at all. But the food was so superior, so fresh and wonderful to have that inheritance. Again, I am glad you tuned in today to check out our broadcast. We are going to attempt to get better at slacking off. And I think part of it is because when I'm not feeling good or there's nobody readily available, it makes it a little bit more difficult for me to find my motivation. So thanks so much. I hope you'll tune in again. Guest call-in is 657-383-0717. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. Drop me a line, email me, find me on Facebook. Chef Elena Alexander is my Facebook page. I'm on Instagram and everything else. So it's been a great day. We'll find out how they feel about it this evening, and I might post up tomorrow what's going to happen for them tomorrow. Thanks so much, guys.
Hey.
All right. I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.